You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Today I wanted to talk about the use of algorithms in government agencies. Because you might not know it, but some government agencies are not only collecting some of your personal data, but they're also running them through algorithms in order to identify patterns and at-risk groups and make policies accordingly. Statistics and algorithms are becoming more and more popular, and government agencies are catching on the trend in the hope to become more efficient. The aim is to make the job of agency workers faster and easier and prevent preventable situations. But however well-intended that is, there is still a high risk of ethical issues. So the Minister of Statistics has commissioned a report to get some transparency on how these new tools are being used. And Stats New Zealand has reviewed the use of algorithms by 14 government agencies, including Inland Revenue, ACC, the Ministry of Justice, Immigration New Zealand, the Ministry of Social Development, or the New Zealand Police, and a few more as well. And while the use of these, some of these algorithms doesn't call morals into question, some sectors might actually present a risk. The report highlights multiple case studies of the use of such algorithms to resolve or improve sensitive issues around child abuse, youth unemployment, or risk of re-imprisonment. So I talked to Dr. Emily Kedell. She is a senior lecturer in social work at the University of Otago. And we talked about the potential risks linked to the use of algorithm in social work. But I started by asking her about the benefits of these tools for care workers.
The positive side of that is that you are able to include much more data than a person could kind of weigh up in their own minds, and can be really helpful to when you're dealing with huge amounts of data that you couldn't possibly see the pattern over all that data yourself.
And I guess it helps trans department help in gathering of information that would probably take longer to have access to.
Absolutely, yep. So it's fast once you've trained that algorithm, and as long as you have the computational power in your software and your computer gear, then you can click the button and it will spit out that recommendation to you very quickly.
Just like that, it seems like potentially a good idea to have this collection of data that is easily accessible and could make caseworkers work much easier and much faster. Mm-hmm. What kind of ethical issues does it raise, though?
So the ethical issues are particularly in the ones that are used on the social side of things. So I think there's much fewer ethical issues if it's being used, for example, by the Department of Immigration as using an algorithm to detect parcels that arrive at the border that might be an unusual size or shape. So there's very few ethical issues involved in those sorts of things, because the data it's drawing on is very objective, and it measures the thing that the algorithm is supposed to measure or to calculate, i.e. irregular sizes of packages. But if we're dealing on the social side of things, so either the MSD use of tools around assigning caseworker support to beneficiaries, particularly in the criminal justice system, where we're using a particular tool to inform sentencing decisions, that all gets a little bit murkier because, two reasons. Firstly, some of the data being used could contain biases. So in the criminal justice system, if you think about it, all that historical data being used to construct the algorithm, such as, you know, your age at first offence, length of previous offences, etc., etc., they're just really the decisions of earlier humans. Mm. So the idea that you're going to use the algorithm and it's going to reduce any kind of biases in the human decision maker who can't, you know, calculate all this immense data kind of falls a bit short, because you're actually reproducing earlier human decisions. And we also know, particularly in criminal justice again, that historically and most likely currently as well, there's particular biases against particular groups, in particular Māori, who, for example, might be or are convicted at a higher rate for similar crimes than non-Māori. So if you're drawing on data that's about previous convictions to create an algorithm, then that's going to reproduce those social biases. So in that particular instance, it's difficult to say that the algorithm is, you know, more efficient and going to reduce bias in the system, because it's drawing on data that already contains biases. So you're just reproducing that.
Is there also a risk that by using these algorithms, we're only focusing on certain populations based on the data that we've got, and we kind of tend to overlook the cases that arise in populations that are not deemed at risk?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. And again, in the criminal justice system is probably the best example of that, because it's not only the biases that might be around conviction, but it's also the fact that criminal justice data only shows those people who were caught, prosecuted and convicted. Mm. So if we think about crime as existing or, you know, occurring across society, but only some people get caught and convicted for it, then that, you know, it also means that some crime is never caught or convicted, so it never gets into the data. So that also creates a really poor sample frame for the data to be spitting out these risk recommendations for an algorithm, because the sample frame, that is the way that initial bunch of data has been generated, isn't representative of crime across the whole population.
Should all of these data also be included in the core source data?
Well, the problem is that where would we find that data from? There's no way to correct that, because crime that's not seen and convicted is never known as crime. Yeah, so that was also a similar argument in relation to the earlier proposed use of predictive tools in child protection, because that has a similar problem, that all child abuse is not seen when we're only drawing on data of reported child abuse, you know, and reported crime. So we're never going to be able to correct that sample frame.
You were saying, I think, before that it's not being used for these cases. So there's still part of the social work that hasn't got an algorithm put in place, right?
Yes. So one thing that's interesting in the report is just confirming that Oranga Tamariki, our child protection agency, is not using algorithmic tools at this time. Yeah, they've trialed them in the past.
So do you think that is a good thing?
I think that is a good thing at this point in time. I think we need a lot more of that research around how they're used, what sort of data they're using, and also how they're implemented before we would, you know, ever consider using them.
Mm. One thing that was pointed out in the report, in the key findings, is that ultimately, yes, caseworkers use these algorithms, but the decision making is still a human person making a decision.
Mm-hmm. I think that is a good thing, and I think it's sensible given where we're at with the development of these algorithms there. And also bringing to bear the, like a professional judgment is always a combination of gathering information, combining it with your own values, ethics, the understanding the legal context, and also understanding the relationship context that you have with the person that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
So you're always going to need a human to add those other elements, even if an algorithm was doing one bit of the information gathering for you.
Do you think that ultimately, as we go more and more into a society that relies heavily on statistics, I guess, and modelling, do you think that could be the case eventually, that we will sort of like try and only have social work run by those algorithms and like a sort of automatic decision-making process that doesn't involve human beings?
Well, I would very much hope not, especially in social work. You know, social work relies on the relationships that you build with the people that you're working with. Yeah, I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Is there something else that you want to add?
I guess the other thing that has been alluded to in the report has actually been included as a recommendation, which I was very pleased to see, is much more inclusion of people who are actually affected by these tools in their development and production.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something we haven't done well yet, and I really hope to see more of that in the future, that, you know, we're going out and asking people, what do you think about the use of this tool? How do you think it affects you know, the way you're treated in relation to the system that you're dealing with? Do you think it's fair? And generating a much broader range of voices and perspectives about how they should be used, I think, is a really important part of the debate going forward. And that's difficult because, you know, lots of people don't have great statistical, you know, understandings. Mm. So if, you know, you've got to, it's a really tough process, I think, but a very important one to open up that public debate to a much wider range of key kind of stakeholders.
Yeah, because I was wondering if, I mean, I suppose people might be aware that information about them is being collected by the agencies that they see, but I'm not sure they're aware that this information is then being processed and analysed and used.
Correct, yeah, and that's a very interesting issue around consent to data use and to data linkage. So people often will sign some sort of disclaimer at the start saying that the agency can collect or hold that data, but I think when it's used in an algorithmic context, you're fundamentally changing the nature of that data into something else.
Mm.
And I think if you don't have consent for that, I don't think it's good enough to say, well, we hold this data about people anyway, so we're just reshaping it. I think that putting it through an algorithmic, a complex algorithmic process, is fundamentally changing the nature of that information and using it for a different purpose. So normally you would, you know, get consent for on use of data in that way. I think that's something that's yet to be fully
addressed as well.
Yeah, maybe. Addressed, exactly.
The Wire.
But there's some real fascists out here.
You were listening to Dr. Emily Cadell, a senior lecturer in social work at the University of Otago. And we're talking about the potential risk linked to the use of algorithms by government agencies. The report is available online. It's available on Stats New Zealand's website. I invite people to have a look at it, have a little read through and see what they think about the use of personal data through algorithms.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.